Gracious Saviour, good and kind, light of life from God proceeding. Open now our heart and mind, help us by your Spirit's pleading. Hear the cry your church now raises, heal and bless our prayers and praises. Father, Son, and Spirit, Lord, praise to you and adoration. Grant that we may trust your word, confident of our salvation. While we here below must wander, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment, but I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this short confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in his stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord was my support in the day of my calamity. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring it down. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord was my support in the day of my calamity.
Have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, since you never fail to help and govern those in whom you nurture, in your steadfast love and fear, work in us a perpetual fear and love of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this, the second Sunday after Trinity, is written in the ninth chapter of the Proverbs of Solomon, beginning at the first verse. Wisdom has built her house, she has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. She has set out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come and eat my bread. Drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. He who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. The epistle lesson is written in the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, beginning at the 13th verse. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near to the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of his hostility. by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Alleluia. I will give to the Lord the thanks due his righteousness, and I will sing praise in the name of the Lord the Most High. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 14th chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 15th verse. Glory be, O Lord. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out to see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house was angry. And he said unto his slave, 'Go now quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Lord, what you have commanded has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master said unto his slave, 'Go now into the highways and hedges and compel the people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Speed to thee, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father,
And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you have prepared this feast for our salvation. It is your body and your blood, and at your invitation, as weary souls with sin oppressed, we come to you for needed rest, for comfort and for pardon. Although you did to heaven ascend, where angel hosts are dwelling, and in your presence hold your glory and excelling. And though your people shall not see your glory and your majesty, till dawns the judgment morning, yet, Savior, you are not confined to any habitation, but you are present even now here with your congregation, firm as the rock is. Leaving that your true body and your blood, our lips are here receiving, this word remains forever true. All things are possible for you. For you are Lord Almighty. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it looked extremely rocky for Mudville that day. The score stood at 2-4. But an inning was only left to play, and so when Cooney died at second and Burroughs did the same, a pallor wreathed the features of the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to leave, leaving the rest with the hope that springs eternal in the human breast, for they thought if only Casey could get up at the bat,
then even now, where there was even money, with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, and likewise so did Blake, and the former was a puddin', and the latter was a fake, and so on that stricken multitude a death-like silence fell, for there seemed little chance that Casey would get to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single to the wonderment of all, and then the much-despised Blakey tore the cover off the ball, and when the dust had lifted and they saw what had occurred, Blakey was safe at second, and Flynn was a hugging third. And then from the gladdened multitude went up a joyous yell. It rumbled to the mountaintops. It rattled through the dell. It struck upon the hillside. It rebounded on the flat, for Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. And there was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped up to his place. And there was pride in Casey's bearing and a smile on Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped it on his shirt. And then with wreathing pitcher, ground the ball into his hip. Defiance glanced in Casey's eye, and a sneer curled in Casey's lips. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it with a haughty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "And strike one," the umpire said. And from the benches, the black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of a storm waves upon a distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire!" someone shouted from the stands. And it's likely that they would have killed him. But Casey hussed him with his hand. And with a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult and made the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher once more the sphere-eyed flew. But Casey still ignored it, and the umpire shouted, "Strike two." "Fraud!" cried the maddened thousands. The echo answered, "Fraud." But one scornful look from Casey and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. His muscles began to strain, and they knew that Casey wouldn't let the ball go past again. The sneer was gone from Casey's lips. His teeth were clenched in hate. He pounded with cruel vengeance the bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go, and now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. And somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright, and the band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light, and somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. The mighty Casey struck out. And so did Jesus. Jesus struck out. Because you see, in today's gospel lesson of the great banquet, the slave who went to those invited, calling them to eat the feast, that slave, and I know your English Bibles say servant or bondsman, but that slave, that's what the Greek says, that slave is Jesus. And Jesus struck out. Because everybody he went to, everybody that was invited to the feast, everyone that said they were going to the feast, all of them, without exception, made excuses why they would not attend. According to Cyril of Alexandria, the great North African father, he says that the slave who was sent is Christ. And he's probably one of the greatest theologians of the ancient church. He's one of the architects of the Nicene Creed, which you just recited with me. And that slave is Jesus. And you say, well, why is Jesus a slave? Well, it says in Philippians 2:7 that he made himself of no reputation, taking upon himself the form of a slave, coming in the likeness of men. And that's the reason why during the Creed, if you notice, you that aren't used to it maybe, I don't know, you notice during the Creed, myself and the Christopher, we took a knee when Jesus became man, was born of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And actually, liturgically, it's appropriate for anyone in this room to do that if you want. Christian freedom, you don't have to. But if you want to, you could. Because Jesus, when he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man, Jesus took on the humiliation of us. For we are slaves. Yeah, I know it's offensive, isn't it? We're slaves. We are slaves, though. We are. The Jews didn't like that assertion that Jesus made of them either. They said, we're Abraham's children. We've never been slaves to anyone, which is not true, because they were slaves in Egypt for 450 years. But yeah, we are all slaves. We are, whether we want to admit it or not. And how do I know we're slaves? Because Jesus says in John 8:34, I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. In Romans 6:16, the Holy Spirit inspires the Apostle Paul to write, do you not know that when you offer yourselves as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin leading to death or to obedience leading to righteousness? So as Joshua said, in his name means Jesus in English, Yeshua, he says, choose this day whom you will serve. Or as the great prophet Elijah said, right? How long will you vacillate between two opinions? If God is Lord, serve him. If Baal is Lord, then serve the Baal. Stop being lukewarm. Choose one or the other. Peter says in his second epistle, a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. What has mastered us? Who is our master? To whom do we obey? That's why Christ struck out that day when he was calling those invited to the great banquet. And Luther's take on those, the reason why they disobeyed, why they made excuses, he said, because they were misled, and I quote, Luther says, they were misled by the world's goods, pleasures, and honor. The whole world is now hearing the gospel, but even though that is true everywhere, everyone is still engaged in wantonness more than before. That is the lament here. That no one inquires after the gospel, but they are all caught up like beetles and grubs and vermin. If you want to be a Christian, don't take care that you don't pass up the banquet. Unquote. So, are we passing up the banquet that Luther warns us, and the scriptures warn us not to avoid? Are we passing by the great supper that Christ and the Father in heaven has prepared for us? And therefore using some pathetic excuse to veil our refusal of God's grace? And will Christ have to report unto his Father that he called us, but we refused, right? I mean, how often have we said, oh, I want to go to church, or I want to receive the sacrament, or I want to do this thing, right? And I think to myself, what's preventing you but you? The people would gladly receive you back unto themselves and unto Christ. You're the one that won't let yourself go for whatever reason, which I don't understand, other than you have a master that prevents you from coming, who's not God. And yet it says here that's interesting, that God the Father, if you believe Cyril of Alexandria, and I believe I do, I think he's right here, he's angry about these people refusing. He's angry. But look how he responds. He doesn't respond with vengeance. He's within his rights to do so, to take vengeance on them, but he doesn't. What does he do? He responds with grace and mercy to those who are uninvited. In other words, God in our gospel lesson today relinquishes his legitimate anger and decides to dedicate his energy to those who will appreciate and will receive his kindnesses. This is the point of saying in today's gospel lesson in Luke 14:21, when he says to his servant, again, his slave, Jesus, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. The poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. It's very important that you remember those four types of people. Right, this is significant because in the ancient world, as now, the poor are not invited to banquets. Right, they're not invited to the Mardi Gras balls and the fun things that may happen in St. Louis or wherever. They're not part of high society. and the blind and the maimed, which means those who are injured so that they cannot have children, they don't marry. The blind don't go out and examine fields, and the lame don't test oxen. In other words, these are those who are the world has rejected because they are damaged goods, in a sense. And yet they are the ones whom God now, who is the host of the feast, embraces as his own, because his own would not have him. In fact, the word poor is used throughout the scriptures to mean the humble and the pious. And God always favors the humble and the pious. We're talking about pride a little bit in Bible study, but that, you know, Bible class, but that's exactly what God is doing. The opposite of pride is humility and piety. That's the reason why the prophet Isaiah is inspired to write in Isaiah 66:2, "On this I will look," speaking for God, "on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." And Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 3, in the Great Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Thus, this banquet represents heaven's kingdom. And like them, we enter it through a meal. We enter it through humble things like water and baptism. And yet, in these humble things that the world sees us as completely useless and completely unimportant, yet we are receiving the grace of everlasting life. Yes, the fact that those who are brought in are poor, maimed, blind, and lame means that the host is not socially indebted to these people, these poor, maimed, blind, and lame people. And they will never be able to respond to him in kind. His offer, therefore, is both unexpected, visible demonstration of love and humiliation, as Dr. Kenneth Bailey puts it from the American University in Beirut. It is a dramatic, visible nature of this demonstration is clear. It is unexpected, and it breaks upon the new group of undeserving guests with stunning surprise, Bailey writes, and he's right. I'll say that again. It breaks upon the undeserving group with stunning surprise. And we saw that in the first service. We saw a little girl by the name of Arabella Joy, a little girl, receiving God's grace, breaking upon her with stunning surprise in the waters of holy baptism, where she was born again of water and the Spirit, where everything in her became new and the old passed away, and Christ grafted herself into him, and he became her vine and she became his branch. And not because she deserved it, because in Adam none of us do, but just because God loves her and wants her to have that grace, as he wants us to have that grace, just as we who have been baptized have received that same grace in baptism, where God literally snatches us off the streets of this doomed world and bundles us into his great banquet of everlasting life, where we taste and see that the Lord is good and that his mercy endures forever. And why are we there? Why do we receive these priceless Eucharistic gifts? Not because we deserve them, but in fact because we do not. Because the master of the feast has decided that his feast will be full. And in his mercy, he has decided to include us, who do not deserve it. Yes. Therefore, under these humble veils that the world rejects, our God, whom the world has also rejected, gives us eternal acceptance. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome everybody today. It's great to have the Miller family and such as it is. It's really nice to have most of y'all here. And today, what a blessing. It's also great to have George Miller, our patriarch there up on the organ bench today. What a treat to have him play for us as well. And I have a few announcements today. Of course, if you look at the blue news, we have council and elders on Tuesday and at their normal times. And I'm also looking for a few volunteers to help me either Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure which day yet. Depends on who I get more volunteers. They're gonna decontaminate the office and the youth house areas that we use from the mold that got out of hand on us a little bit tomorrow. And so I need to kind of get my library, which is in the fellowship hall, back into my study over in the youth house this week. And so I'll need some volunteers to help me at some point. So appreciate anybody can help me do that. Also, we got a few prayer requests. Smitty and Pat asked that we pray for their is it a friend, Barbara? Niece Barbara, who's having a scan this week. And so we'll pray for your niece, Barbara. And then also, from Concordia Lutheran, Paul Dale, he's home with COVID, and then his wife, Clara Dale, some of y'all might know her from, they're longtime people in the community. She's actually went on a vent Friday night because of COVID. So that's really serious. So we need to pray for Clara Dale today that she'll get better from that. Cause, you know, once they go on the vent, it's really becomes difficult. So we pray for her. And then also Ed's home with Ed Teckel, our president's home with COVID, though he is getting better. We'll still pray for him. And then we had a baptism in the first service, our Arabella Joy Cole. So she was baptized. And also we're still praying for Remy Wolf Blunt, who is Gina Davis Blunt's son. And he is at Children's and Women's still. But he is gaining some weight. He's up to like 4 pounds, and he's making progress. Terry told me this morning, so that's good news. We'll pray for him as well, the Lord. And then also finally, Pastor James B. Marshall, not Pastor Ulmer Marshall, but James B. Marshall, who was the pastor at Faith on Martin Luther King Boulevard for many, many years. He died yesterday morning at around 10:30, 11, and I had the privilege of being with him and his family when that happened in the ICU. MICU there at SICU at infirmary. So just want to let you know about that as well. We pray for them as they mourn. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace that is from above and for the well-being of the churches of Christ and the godly unity of all Christendom, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for those who in faith, piety, and the fear of God offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. For Matthew and Eric, our shepherds and bishops in Christ, for our pastors and teachers and all people, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation, all our people, for our president and Congress, our governor and legislature, our judges and magistrates, and all who serve in public office, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and the sorrowing, for those who mourn, for those who are in need and distress, for the homebound and the infirm, especially we pray this day for Doris and Ed, for Bill and Joyce, Mary and Mark, Eddie and Norma, for Kim and Suzette, Glenn and Dean, for Terry and Jackie, Tony and Chris, Marion and Meredith, for James and George, Larry, Dean and Earl, Suzette and Bob, Mallory and Mark, for Hank and Sandy, Haley and Jay, Tracy and Michelle, Carl and Karen, Jimmy and Tina, for Ainsley and Kevin, for Ron and Mary Ellen, for Brian and Natalie, Thelma and Jesse, for Ralph and Theo, Easton and Doug, for Hugh and Waylon and Ryan. And we pray for the families of our parish who mourn. Especially we pray for the Blackwell and Cooper family, the Tatum and Rogers family, the Teckel family, the Gross family, the Florianzig and Parsons families, the Freeman family, the Nielsen family, the Osbacher and Schwartz family, the Gallardi family, the Whitfield family, the Gershenslager family, the Johnston and Williams families, and the Burden and the Ulrich family.
And we pray, Heavenly Father, also for those to whom who are in our armed forces, especially for Riley, Paul, Turner, Paul, and Hayden. And we pray for all of our university students, including Minnie, Noah, Harrison, John, Katie, Dylan, Aiden, Jason, and Jacob. And we pray, Heavenly Father, also for those to whom death is drawing near, and for us all, that when our last hour shall come, we may depart this life in the confidence of the sure faith, the consolation of a right, devout, and holy hope, and in the communion of Christ's holy church. Let us pray to the Lord. We're calling those who've gone before us in the faith, and rejoice, and you share with them the Sabbath rest, which Christ has won for his people, that together with them we may be found faithful in the day of judgment, and rejoice in the day of the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray especially this day for the Marshall family, and also the Blackwell and Cooper families. Have compassion, O Lord, upon all who mourn, and upon all who are desolate and lonely, especially upon the Marshall family, the Cooper family, and the Blackwell family. Be thou their comforter and friend, and give unto them such earthly solace as thou seekest to be best for them, and wipe away all their tears for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We also pray for Barbara as she will undergo a test this week, and all others who are undergoing tests for various illnesses and are troubled by the prospects of what doctors may or may not find. Lord God, Heavenly Father, look down from heaven, behold, relieve and with thy servants, for whom we offer up our supplications. Look upon them with the eyes of thy mercy, and give comfort and sure confidence to them. Defend them from the dangers of the enemy, and keep them in perpetual safety and peace through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And finally, we pray for Clara, Dale, Paul Dale, and all others who are sick, and especially those who are in hospital. Almighty and everlasting God, the eternal salvation of them that believe, hear our prayers on behalf of thy servants, Paul, and especially Clara Dale, whom we offer up our supplications and implore thy aid and mercy, that if it be your will, that they will be restored to their former health, so that they may render thanks to thee in thy church. We ask this through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son, O Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.